at a small group during the week, we were just at the end and we wanted to pray for each other, and we just experienced that God just said, don't lay hands on each other now, just sit and be quiet. And I just had this experience of God, because this is something in my life that I've been busy challenging with, and God wants to be being healed of and healed of. And I just got this picture of God's finger pointing on it. And during the week, it was just telling me and saying, Stephen, why are you trying to heal yourself with this? Why are you trying to deliver yourself with this? And I just realized I was operating out of my own strength, and it's God that brings the healing and does the healing. I mean, it's just a scripture that's on my heart, just concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Most of probably know this, but it's 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of Jesus says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Father, I just thank you that it is your heart for us to be free, Father, and just to move in your gifts, Lord, to move in the gifts that you've given us, Lord. But it's not for ourselves, Father. It's for those around us, Lord. And I just pray that you would come show us, Father, just that experience that we had of your Holy Spirit coming into the small group, just guiding us in the right direction, that there's specific things and specific times, Lord, that you want us to do. And I pray, Father, for that, for eyes just to be open, our hearts to be open for when you want to move and how you want to move, Lord. And I thank you that it's only by your Spirit, not by our own strength or what we try to do or conjure up, Lord. It's you, and we just thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name.
Last night I had a dream, and it was of me going to visit someone in prison. And I went there, and it was actually quite a comfortable prison. It had a bed and a computer, and everything was there. It was very comfortable. And I was talking to this person, and they were just so hopeless. They were like, says, I'm just going to die here. I'm slowly dying here. And they were just, they've given up. And I remember in my dream, I was frustrated with this person. I'm like, come on, don't give up now. You're almost going to get free. And, you know, don't stop now. And I remember in my dream also, there were two beds in this specific prison room. And the one was for this person, and the other one was for this person's brother. Now, this morning, I was praying, and I wasn't even remembering the dream. And I asked God what's on his heart for today, and he just showed me like a puppet master with his puppets, playing with his puppets. And he said, like, what I felt from that is that some of us have puppet masters that are not God. These are people, maybe, or problems, or sin, things that we struggle with, and this is actually keeping us in prison. We can't be free if we have something else governing our lives. And I just felt that God wants to come and cut those strings this morning. And the dream, it just linked to the dream, being imprisoned, and we're comfortable with being imprisoned and giving up hope. We're never going to get free of this sin or this problem or this thing. And I was thinking about the bed for the brother. By being enslaved ourselves, we are actually keeping our brothers, our spiritual brothers, in bondage as well. So If we can maybe just pray for that. If you feel this morning that you have something, a puppet master, something else, an idol, a person governing your life, a problem, let's just quickly lift that up to God this morning so you can cut the strings and make us free. So if you can just close your eyes. Father, we just want to come to you this morning, Lord, and we declare, Father, you are King. You are the King of our lives, Father. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega. And we just come and give these things to you this morning, Lord. These things governing our lives, these idols, these problems. And we just pray, Father, that you will come cut these strings this morning. You will come set us free. I just declare freedom in the Spirit this morning. We declare freedom and hope in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We will not be in bondage any longer. We will not be enslaved by the things of this world any longer, Lord. And I thank you that you will give us hope in our hearts that we will overcome by your blood, Jesus. You've already won this battle for us. And we thank you for freedom today. We can walk out of these prisons, Lord, that we can be cut loose from these evil puppet masters. We thank you for that, Father. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, that you take us out of those prisons, Lord. Even though we've become so accustomed to them, they've become so part of our lives, Father God, that we're almost scared of the freedom of the unknown outside. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to have faith, Lord, that as you cut us loose, to take us to a place of true freedom. With the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom, Lord. And thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you are convicting us, and Holy Spirit, that you are ministering to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name.
I wasn't going to share this, but I just feel that it's very in keeping with what Edna brought. And I was, for the whole of, the latter part of last year and this year, I was harboring some bitterness and unforgiveness to my wife, my principal, because of stuff that happened last year. And I was, everything he would say in my mind, I would just shoot it down, or in staff meetings, I'd be like, oh, what an idiot. And I really struggled. I struggled with him a lot. Probably still just struggle with him. But for the past 2 weeks, or like 4 weeks ago, God just laid on my heart the washing of feet and him. And I was like, no ways. And anyway, so I was like, no ways, no ways. And then last week, Tiens came and he preached about freedom. And anyway, I just felt just confirmation that it needs to happen. Anyway, so on Monday I went to him and I said, look, I know this is very weird, and we know this is weird, but can I please wash your feet? And he was like, I'm sure, you know, he's really humbled and sure this is quite strange, and, you know, he's heard it about it before, and he's been a part of it before, once at church or whatever. So I was like, okay, well, can you answer my question, please? And then, so he was like, why? So I just felt a release from God to just be completely honest. And I just said to him, I'd been, oh, look, how I speak to Beatrice with no frills. I said to him, because I was really hurt and offended by you last year. So he said, oh, have a seat. Let's talk. I was like, oh, I really don't want to talk. I just want a yes or a no. Anyway, so we sat, and he spoke about, I can imagine that he really got under my skin, but, you know, I also got under his skin last year, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, whatever. So he said, no, he'll think about it, and he'll let me know. So I was like, oh, really? So I walked out. Anyway, and then on Friday, he called me back, and he said, look, he's quite a private person, and so for him, it would make him feel really awkward. So no, but yes, he receives it, and he's, you know, really, he's so, you know, he was bowled over and blah, blah, blah. But when I walked out of there on Monday, I walked out and I just felt God, I just felt him say, like, it's finished now. And regardless of whether, I sort of had a voorgevoel he was going to say no, but I just felt him say, regardless whether he says yes or no, it's the obedience that I wanted to see, or the obedience that I honor and bless. And I've just, this whole week, I've just felt such a freedom, like something's been lifted over my head, something's been lifted in my heart. I really struggle at school with the age group, and I've had more patience, and I've enjoyed the kids more. I'm just so thankful to God, and I didn't really do anything, but God is just so faithful, and I'm just blown away by how faithful He is, and like just praise Him. He's such a good God. So just in keeping with Edna's what you shared, I just feel, you know, there are things that you know hold us bondage, and I think yes, God wants to do stuff supernaturally, but I also feel that there's a place where we need to just shut up and listen to what He's saying. You know, maybe there's something He's saying. I want you to move there or take a strategic step there, and then I can do whatever I need to do.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I will be brief. While the worship was happening, God just challenged me to see a testimony from what happened at work. And one of my duties at work is to plant maize seeds and to grow them for these little insects to feed on. And it was the Friday, and the seedlings were still too small, so I had to leave them on my bench at work to grow over the weekend to become bigger. But obviously, we switched off the lights during the weekend, so now they have to grow in the dark. And I didn't know what to expect, but the Monday morning, God just really spoke to me through those seedlings, because my bench is like over there and the window's over there. And when I came in, they were all bent towards the window. And I realized that they were seeking out the light. And God just challenged me in the same way that we as Christians, if we're in the shade or in the dark, that we should always grow towards God. And everyone knows Psalm 23, but the first four verses just connects that. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." So, the bottom line is we will all go through dark places. We will all go through the shade, but always to just grow towards God.
I also just want to share something in line with that as well. I'm planning to plant a sunflower garden, and because this was going to remind me of Annalise, and I'm doing it like a memory garden kind of thing. But the amazing thing about sunflowers is that they always follow the sun. And what God has been telling me in that is that no matter where you are in life, where you're planted, where you're positioned, always keep your face towards the Son of God. Always keep your face towards the light of God. And I just want to encourage you just to keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the light. And
Amen. Thanks, guys, for sharing that word. I do feel afterwards, especially what they shared, if we should pray with you, please do come afterwards that we pray this through. I think Demi is an awesome example of putting your actions where your heart and mind is, and obviously what God's been saying. So please do come forward if the Holy Spirit, if your heart is still jumping, then come forward afterwards and we pray this through. Because we don't want to be puppet masters. We don't want to be driven by the enemy or lies or fear. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit in love. All right. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Sam, for pushing through with your voice. We trust that God will restore sevenfold. Sam says our stem is a bit moog. Hey, your voice is a bit tired, you said. Sorry. Sam's also from the UK. Thank you, Sam. We've been, since Edna and I have arrived, I must say I've been not trying, but I've always tried to just make sure that we're on God's page. There's a lot of nice things to be said, a lot of good things that you can share. The Word is full of sermons, yet there's ones that are prophetically accurate. Not saying that we always are, but That's what our heart is. That is what, hello Rosie, I'll see you again. That is what our heart is to know, God, what is on your heart in this season for us? There's a lot of churches around. There's a lot of congregations, yet we are a small puzzle piece in a bigger picture in Tableview, Melkbos, Bloberg, and surrounds. And God, what is our mandate and what should we be doing? And from the outset of, as we started off, God clearly laid it on our heart, the story of Mary and Martha, as you remember, and Mary that went and in Luke 10 and sat at Jesus' feet, where Martha was busy with a lot of stuff. You can almost draw a comparison with puppet masters and strings of Martha having to run around, maybe in fear, doing a lot of stuff, yet Mary having the freedom to choose to go sit at Jesus' feet. And as you remember, the word saying that she chose the good part. Now, for me, that good part, and without taking anything out of biblical context, that good part can be pretty wide within a biblical context. And I've just been knocking on God's door. What is this good part? Yes, it's eternal value, and we've looked at it before as being God's presence. You'll recall that we looked at Psalm 97, saying that the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Now, in God's presence, Demi got a word from God, and what seemed like a mountain melt like wax now in her life, and she can just proclaim the freedom that God's given her. What an awesome testimony of exactly that. And I believe she chose the good part. She had a Mary moment, and she listened to God, and that's an awesome testimony to all of us. Now, after that, we've broken it up, and you guys, if you don't mind, can go to the intro slide. We've broken it up, and we had a look at a couple of other things. You'll recall that you can click all through them. Sorry, if you don't mind. We looked at his presence. Then Tien's came in, and we looked at incomparable Jesus. Yaku came in, spoke about the cost of following Jesus, and then obviously Tien's shared with us on being free last week. So if you look at it, God's just been unwrapping the good part of choosing him over choosing the things of this world the last couple of weeks. So for me, that's just important to know what is God saying. Just a quick testimony, Philip or Wim Philip, and a couple of guys will tell you that we had, for me, had an awesome intercession on Thursday evening. I came in and I was thinking of what should I say and how should we start off. And Pietri just started to string on his guitar. But it was as if God just pitched immediately. We just sat there. Well, I couldn't say anything. The moment was too sweet for me to pray, if you understand my heart. And so we just sat there and started to tell God who he is. And in doing so, just reminding ourselves of how awesome and awe-inspiring God really is. And it was an hour of that. I didn't think he ever stopped stringing. It was really the most anointed stringing that I've heard of late. And it's not because he's jogging and fit and lost a lot of weight, but it was just God's sheer presence that just came in and surprised us. Normally I would have thought, hey guys, well, I fasted today, or I prayed a lot for intercession, or I read Bible. No, I did absolutely squat. I prayed on my way here in preparation. I did absolutely nothing out of my own flesh. I don't know if Pietro, Francisco, Philip did anything weird and wonderful, but God just blessed us with himself. And that's what that's been on my heart, and I believe on God's heart this last couple of weeks. This is him. We can do a lot of stuff. We can be so busy. We can do church. We can do it here. We can do it in the hall. We can do it on the roof. We can do it wherever. We can do it with smoke. We can do it with light. But without God, it's not going to be real or authentic. And likewise, individually, our times with the Lord. I can fill in, I can tick the right boxes. I said to somebody the other day, I don't recall if it was one of us that chatted, but we're in a time of the year where people start ticking boxes. People get a bit tired. Go to work, tick. Feed the children, tick. Go on a weekend, try to rest, no tick. But the thing is, we go to swell, we go to church, etc. Yet, maybe we lose a bit of the substance. And I believe we should be careful in the good sense of the word, and also in our Christianity, remind ourselves to be plugged in personally. Have our Mary moments. Because that's what's going to help us not to be run by puppet masters and to have an awesome time with the Lord. That was a bit of a lengthy intro. I do apologize. But just to make sure we're all on the same page. Now today I'm obviously still unwrapping the good part. And as you see it on the first slide, the good part for me is also God's voice. Die stem van God. Now, I'm not gonna give you a list of the ways in which God can speak, because believe you me, I think God can speak in any shape, form, or size and way He wants to. And there's been many such occasions where God authentically has spoken to people, obviously through His Word, obviously in an inclination through His Holy Spirit, obviously almost face to face with people like Moses. God is speaking through dreams. He can speak through a secular music song. Can you believe that? Through a magazine or even I think I've said this before. I don't think he can use the huisgenoot, but otherwise he can use a lot of stuff. God can really chat to us and talk to us, give us a rhema word through a lot of things. We're not going to look into that. The semantics of that, I think, is theologically maybe a bit deep. But for me, is it just, what is the importance of God's voice in your life? If I look at platinum, the way in which in the dire straits our country and economy was in, and we're not going to speak about the wage dispute, but all that the fickle and the nonsense that we saw in our country that almost crippled the economy was, if you can maybe boil it down to, the search and the mining for a particular mineral. Same goes for gold, for diamonds, etc. We as humans can go through a lot of trouble and a lot of effort to attain certain things, to grasp certain things. Om sekere edelgeseentes of dinge te kry, to be successful in areas of sport or whatever line of work you're doing, we can really go through a lot of trouble to get certain things in life. Yet I believe there's maybe an undervalued commodity, and I do say that with respect, in God's voice. And that, and please, just an asterisk there, I'm not saying that we have to put in effort and it's by your efforts and your works that you can hear God's voice. No, not. That's maybe a bit of a half-truth, but I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying, what are we spending our lives over as Christians, as God-fearing Christians? What are we doing with our lives? What are we seeking? What are we mining for? Wat is die klomp moeite wat jy doen in jou lewe? And hoe belangrik, how important is God's voice still in all of that? And yes, He can speak through His Word, as I said, He can speak to your heart, but usually, God is not that afraid. He doesn't splash it on billboards. Yes, he can also do that. But what are we doing daily to hear from our Father, to hear from God? What is the basic requirement of a good relationship, or any relationship for that matter? Is communication. The thing is, we can start here at Shofar Table View and not communicate with any of you guys, but it's not going to, we're not going to go far. Likewise in your family, likewise in your careers, likewise at work, wherever. Basic requirement for relationship is communication. Yet I think when there's a religious spirit involved, in other words, giving you something that's form over the substance, many a times we'll just tick a bunch of boxes and think we're following God, yet there's no relationship because there's no communication. Obviously, all of that, like Ronald did so brilliantly earlier, to say all of that, I obviously have to back it with some scripture. So we're going to look at a story of Samuel. But what made me thought of just communication with the Lord and connecting with Him is, I've recently spent time with two 17-year-old boys, young men, they would like to be called. One of them actually already drives his mother's car and tells me all about it. without even thinking it's weird. Long story short, they're awesome two guys. They've had a bit of trouble in the school they go to, and so I got the privilege of spending some time with him. And the one guy shared with me that in the 17 years of his life, he's not met his father once. He has spoken to him once over the phone, and he could not even recall what the name of his father is. He doesn't know his own father's name. And then secondly, I spoke to the other young man, and both of them are quite nonchalant about it. I'm sorted. I can look after myself. I can walk where I want to go. I've got my stuff. I've got my games. I'm actually sorted. So, yeah, by the way, I've only spoken to him once, and yeah, I don't even know his name. Ha ha. And that's the way in which he dealt with it. The second guy, likewise, I think he met his father twice, saw his father with his own eyes twice in his life, not for lengthy periods, only twice. Once was, I think it was, and I think I remember correctly, was 5 and 11, and now he's 17. He could obviously remember his father's name. That just got to my heart. Man, that just really got to my heart. There's a lot, obviously, that can go wrong if that's the circumstances. And yes, God can turn anything around, and he can bless somebody with the most amazing identity. Yet I just realized that without any communication, obviously there's no relationship. And we should remind ourselves of that when we get busy, of God's voice, of picking up the phone, of spending some face time with our Father. To build relationship, and then always also to have authentic relationships with God. There was a lady in the Old Testament called Hannah. What is Eli? That is Eli in English. Eli. It just sounds so weird when I was preparing. So I might be saying Eli in English. So please do forgive me. But I stayed in Malmesbury for 5 years, so I'm sure I can say alien in English, if you don't mind, because it still just sounds a bit weird. Back to my story. Hannah in 1 Samuel was a mother really hard, not a mother yet, a lady, very hard up to get a child. And she prayed from God because she struggled to get a child, and prayed from God, and obviously God allowed, and she got a son named Samuel. Now, she promised before conception and before the child, the son was born, she promised that she will give her son to the Lord, which she then obviously did. Just after she weaned him, in other words, that's quite small, I guess, not sure how many months or how many years. 2-3 years, great. That's very young. After she weaned him, she took him to Eli, the Afrikaans Eli, and at the temple to serve the Lord as she promised God. And I want us to quickly look at that story, keeping in mind God's voice. You guys can go on to the next slide if you don't mind. We've gone past that. 1 Samuel 3. The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. One day Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his room. Before the lamp of God had gone out, Samuel was lying down in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was located. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "I didn't call," Eli replied. "Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Once again the Lord called, "Samuel." Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "I didn't call you, my son," he replied. "Go back and lie down." Now Samuel had not yet experienced the Lord, because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. He told Samuel, "Go lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came, stood there, and called, as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel responded, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "I'm about to do something in Israel that everyone who hears about it will shudder." And then we skip, and we go to verse 19, because it is relevant today. Just back, please, if you don't mind. Don't worry, got it, yeah. We go to verse 19. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and fulfilled everything Samuel prophesied. All Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew Samuel was confirmed prophet of the Lord. Now, this is obviously an Old Testament, and we'll get to that now. An Old Testament example of where God spoke clearly to someone. And you might say, majoritief, that was Samuel. And I was pretty much an expert. He was an expert at hearing from God. But obviously, he wasn't born an expert. And this is so amazing for me when I just realized the loving care of God the Father. Where if I have to call Frida four times, she's definitely going to get a bit of houtlepel. Ek kan nie vier keer met jou praat nie. But yet God was doing something here, loving and wooing him, enticing him and calling Samuel, tugging on his heart and bringing him close. He also didn't make it very obvious. He could have just said, no, Samuel, come back. It's not Eli, it's me, God speaking. But no, he didn't do that either. Word says, it's the glory of God to hide a matter. It's the honor of a king to search it out. And that king is us, people. It's the glory of God to hide a matter. And it's the honor of a king to search it out. I've many a times wondered, Lord, why don't you just make it more obvious for people? The world is going down in many, many places. God's got an awesome plan, but it still doesn't make it too obvious. There's a pretty obvious reason in that with maybe dekeuseheid van 'n dame, with you and your wife. But let's not get into that now. But you get my drift. God hides certain things, and it's an honor for us to go seek it out. And God was faithful enough here to call him three times, and only the fourth time, after Eli helped him, he said, well, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, just quickly, there's a couple of pointers with regards to God's voice that we can learn, I guess, from Samuel. That's on the next slide. Firstly, he was positioned. Where was he positioned? He was positioned, and he was where he needed to be. If the church asked us to come to Tableview, to come join the family here, and to come spend time with you, to come pastor the church, and God confirmed it, God spoke into our hearts, and we decided, no, I'd rather take up a lawyer's position at a small boutique commercial firm in Sandton. What would the fruit of my life be? I'm not saying God will not speak to me at all. I'm just saying, maybe I'm not positioning myself where God wants me. And that may be in the bigger scheme of things, work-wise, or what you're doing with your life. Are we being obedient? Or even daily. God's given me the grace to get up early, to sit at his feet and spend some time with him, yet I decide to rather do something else. The thing is, what we can learn from Samuel, he positioned himself. He himself, and then obviously Hannah as well, she promised that she'll give him to the Lord, which she did. So he was positioned to hear from God. And please, this is not a requirement. I'm not saying this is a list of requirements. I'm saying this is keys. One of them might be applicable to you. Maybe all of them may be applicable to you. It's what came forth in the scripture for me. Because I don't believe there's a requirement to hear from God, because God can speak to the devil himself if he feels like it. And I'm sure he's not going to jump through all the hoops. So hear the heart. I'm just thinking here's maybe keys that can unlock us to just again hear from God. Secondly, he was humble. Now, he was, as I recall reading some of the commentaries, he was around teenage stage. Now, if you do this today, the guy's almost going to bed, laying in his bed, he's in front of his TV, he's probably playing games. He might not hear his father or mother call, because he might just have earphones over his ears. He might be, I don't know if Facebook is cool for teenagers. What would he be doing? Something else, Facebooking, or playing with his tablet or his phone. And if you should call him, he'll probably ignore you two times. And if you then storm into his room, he'll just say, well, I didn't hear you. Yet Samuel, same age, quite humble, gets up and he runs to Eli. He was just busy doing his stuff, and he was a humble guy. And then on the third time, he took advice. He was teachable. He was teachable with regards to the spiritual things. Stephen told us so correctly this morning with regards to the spiritual gifts. Now, at first, obviously, a couple of years back, or a decade or so back, it was quite weird to me. Yet, God's blessed us with the spiritual gift, but there comes a place where you need to be teachable. You need to be open. You need to be open to the biblical truth around God. Not your cultural truth. Not your father's, your biological father's truth, or your opa's truth. That might be scary sometimes. But God's biblical truth with regards to the Spirit, with regards to many things. So there's a humility that we pick up. Third thing, goal. There was a goal. There was a reason for it. Many times it's nice to get a word from the Lord. It's nice to get a prophetic vision or a dream, and it makes a difference in somebody's life, but it's not about you. Now, we're not going to go into the semantics and the detail of the story, but if you go look at it, God gave him a clear warning for Eli and his sons, who were just having a ball as the Levitical priests and not doing anything that they should. We're not going to go into the detail, but there was a reason for God speaking to him. Now, that does not mean God does not chit-chat, and I mean that with respect. Sometimes God will just speak to you for you. I don't necessarily only speak to Frida or Sophia when I give them orders or when I discipline them. I can also speak to them because we're building a relationship, and that is the goal sometimes. But in this case, God had a clear plan of what he said to him. So if you, the man of power for the hour, and God speaks to you, it's normally not about you. Bill Johnson says it's so nice. I listened to something from him a couple of years back, and it just stuck in my heart. When God gives you massive favor in your life, it's usually because of the people around you. God favors you as the head of your home, or as the head of your business, or even spiritually in your bigger family. Yes, God loves you, but it's not all about you. It's about those around you, even the lost and broken. If God lays his favor and his glory on this church, it's not because we're special and cool and awesome, maybe to a little degree, but it's because of the people around us. It's because of those 8 children that don't have food, because of a little guy that's arm gets broken and his mother can't do anything about it, that needs to fight for his sibling because his mother is drunk in the bush. That's why we get favored. We might have plenty, but it's not just because of us. And likewise for Samuel, likewise with God's voice. God is a kingdom God, and it's his kingdom, not ours, if you understand my heart. Fourthly, he was faithful. He did the things that he had to do. I'm going to try to skip and not keep on these points too long, but he was obviously faithful. The next morning, after God gave him his quite a hefty message that he should give to Eli, he got up and he did all his tasks again. He didn't pitch up and say, well, God spoke to me. I'm the prophet in the house. Asked for coffee and said Eli should come and chat to him. And sometimes that's what we get from people that clearly hear from the Lord, and I do say that with respect, and we all need to be very careful of that. But he was faithful. And then he was faithful in the little. And it said that if you're faithful in the little, God will make you rule over much. He got this one message. He delivered it in the spirit of the fear of the Lord and not the spirit of the fear of man, because Eli, it was quite a horrible message to Eli and his family. He delivered that and God lifted him up, and he was one of the greatest prophets. So he was faithful. And then second last thing, searching, knocking, asking. Just to come back to the point we started off, are you hungry for God's voice? Are you still hungry for the things of God? Of the things that God's been busy with? I must say, in intercession, obviously that comes to the fore. What is on God's heart should come out in intercession. Are we hungry for that? Are we hungry to hear from God what is on his heart at the moment? And then lastly, just to recognize his voice. Samuel didn't start out as an expert. He grew in it. And God was gracious in the way in which he taught him. We should give each other room within a safe space to hear from the Lord. But he was also not going on his own tangent. He was hearing from Eli. Eli helped him. Somebody that noticed that what is going on, this is God speaking. So there was a matter of accountability. There was relationship. And that obviously helped him. Otherwise, he might have just missed it and went to bed. Yet, he was in a place where he could recognize and grow in it. He was also in fellowship and in accountability, which I've seen in my own life is of great use. Samuel grew, verse 19 said, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he fulfilled everything Samuel prophesied. What about you? Have you had your Samuel moment? Do you daily still have your Samuel moment? And they're obviously not that exactly like this all the time, when they're not that necessarily that powerful, but yet there's a place where God comes and he speaks into a heart and he catapults you into your true identity. He catapults you into the calling on your life by speaking it personally. I believe it can be done through a person, obviously. It can be done through the word or a revelation you get in a song. But you will know as you know God is speaking to you. And like for Samuel, that just catapulted him into his destiny, into him being a prophet of God. And what about us? What about each one of us? Is it still important to us? Maybe it's important to look each other in the eye and say, in the charismatic circle, sometimes this thing can get a bit murky. People get feelings, they get visions, they get lied to, they get unctions and feelings and emotions and stuff, and things sometimes go a bit haywire when it gets to hearing from God. And I think that's very important that we... What is a goeie Engelse? But we should be careful to miss out on what God wants to say and what wants to do. Because I believe a religious spirit will tell you, well, God will only speak through his word. Yes, he will rhema a lot through his word. And it's also always good to hear what God is saying and to confirm, confirm that which you are hearing from the word of God. But we should not let that distract us, or we should not let the fact that other people might have made certain mistakes, or even myself have made certain mistakes, not let that die down the heart of hearing from our Father, of spending time with him and hearing from him personally. Is it important in a biblical sense? Definitely. And we're quickly gonna look at scripture, and then I want us to pray afterwards. There was three dispensations in the word. It's not something I thought up myself. It's generally noted, and you can go read the commentaries. There's three dispensations. The first one was where God primarily they call it the dispensation of the patriarchs. In other words, God related to the fathers. You can take Noah as an example, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, where the father of a family God will speak to, and that had a massive influence, obviously, on the whole family. Noah, well, that's quite obvious. It had a big influence on the family. You were quite happy if you were one of the other seven that could get onto the ark. Likewise with Abram. You can go look at Genesis, 26. I'm not going to go into it, where God just speaks to Isaac, and he just says, well, Abram listened to my voice and he obeyed what I said. Hence, I will. And then God said what the promises were. So he spoke to the fathers in that first dispensation. The second dispensation was of Israel. Now God was moving away from the families and he was speaking to Israel, his people collectively, as a people group. Through what? Through the law of Moses. They had the temple and they had the priesthood. But it was Israel under the law was the second dispensation. So we had the first of the patriarchs, the second one of Israel under the law, and then the third one was the dispensation of the gospel. Now, obviously, we know where we're still at. We're in the dispensation of the gospel. So God spoke to family heads, told them to move. This is not a hard and fast rule, but this was generally. Secondly, to Israel as a people group and as his folk. And then thirdly, now, we're in the dispensation of the gospel where God speaks to any person individually, never mind your race or nationality, from person to person, primarily. Obviously, for us collectively as well, he speaks to us as South Africans, what is his heart for Africa, what is his heart for our church. But now we all can hear from him and listen to what he says. Now, in all three dispensations, one thing is very important. One thing out of Scripture is very important, and that is what? Please do guess. It's God's voice. You'll see in all three dispensations, God used one thing, not one thing, but one requirement was always in there. Never mind how we choose to work with people or people groups or individuals. It was to hear his voice and to obey. It's all throughout Scripture. So you can say, well, no, now we're in the New Testament and this, we're in the Old Testament this, and we're the law this, and we're the... In all three dispensations, according to Scripture, it was a requirement that if you're one of God's people, you need to hear from God and you need to obey. That sounds a bit hard, but obviously he comes as a father as well in a loving way and he leads us in life. And it's still applicable today. Let's quickly look at Scripture. And we know that Scripture is powerful. We can go to Exodus 15, verse 26, if you don't mind. It's King James, the King James version. So, there you go. Thank you so much. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now obviously, he speaks here to Israel. We go on to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all these commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So, in the Old Testament already, God made it very clear that we should hear from him and obey. And if we move on to the prophets in Jeremiah 7, verse 22, the word says the following. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this command I gave them, obey my voice and I will be your God. And that's clear. That's clearly still the same today. We don't, in our culture, which has become a bit egocentric and maybe a bit selfish and very individualistic sometimes, we don't necessarily like the word obey. I don't know, Angela or Demi that teaches. I don't think pupils these days like the word obey. We don't like to be told or to obey necessarily. But anyway, here God says, but this command I gave them, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. And I will walk in all the way that I commanded you. And that it may be well with you. I'm not going to read the rest. So in the Old Testament and in the prophets, it's very clear that God wanted us, maybe it sounds a bit harsh sometimes, but to hear his voice and obey. Now today, as we said, is it still the same? Is it still the same that through Christ, we need to hear and obey? Let's go to John 10:1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Samuel, Samuel. This is Jesus here. Recall back the old scripture that the Old Testament scripture we just read. Samuel, Samuel. Or Pietri, Pietri. And obviously you can put your name in there. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. That still happens, in other words, and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. He calls them out by name. And obviously all of us, hopefully God has called out by name. You might not have heard that audibly. Let me just say that on the side. But you would have known when God has called you out by name. When Jesus has called you and said, please do follow me. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep will hear my voice. Another translation says, and the voice of another they will not follow. Are we in a place where we hear his voice? Are we in a place where we clearly hear his voice? We live in a world full of voices. There's a lot of noise going on. My sheep will hear my voice, and the voice of another, a stranger, they will not follow. I need to look at my life, the puppet masters of life, and see, Lord, am I listening to your voice? Or, like I had to confess earlier when Edna shared, fear. Sometimes fear creeps in. Why am I listening to the puppet master of fear? Jesus says, my sheep will know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. Sometimes fear might creep in and take hold of your emotions and your thoughts, and you might not be thinking in faith and not listening to what Christ is saying, but what God is saying. And then obviously about identity as well. The enemy likes to come in with a bunch of lies. Just your imagination, thought life, even what people say. And then God needs to come in and speak the truth into your heart by his voice. I listened to, Ronald said, Tegenberg earlier. I also listened to Radio Tegenberg. What was it on? Friday. I had to go fix something, pick up something for the sound. In Belleville, so I drove and I listened to the radio, and there was a discussion about friends and lady friends, vriendinne. Weird thing for me to listen to, but yet there was a couple of good pointers that came out. Long story short, the lady shared about a young girl that wrote a little note to a friend at school saying, please fill in the correct, or please tick the correct box. I am your best friend. I am a good friend. I am one of your friends. You don't really like me. Please be honest. They were good friends. But obviously, there was this need about the one writing the note, saying, I want to know where we stand. I want to know what you truly think about me. I want to know who I truly am in your sight as my friend. That really struck my heart. As I was driving, I said to the Lord, well, Lord, if I should give you a similar list, not obviously friend, etc., what would you say about me? And it was just like, as clear as day, like God just dropped in my heart, son by choice. Now that might sound like something to you, but that just hit the mark right down here in the center of my soul. If I had to give a little list for the Lord to tick, he would have written down, you're my son by choice. And that just, because there's a lot of stuff going on in my life, and there's stuff I'm also working through, like all of you. And that just came in, and God just, almost like a knife, just got to the point, and he said, that's who you are. Because I needed to hear that. Like that little girl needed to hear from her friend, where am I standing with you? Who am I for you? Many a times we need to hear from God, Lord, how do you see me? Where am I for you, God? And God's willing to chat to you. God is willing to give his voice in that moment and just make it very clear who you are for him. And that just really blessed me. I'm obviously opening up my life a bit here, but I believe there's some of us that crave that. And I don't crave that once in my life. I crave that very often. Having to, because the world can tell you a bunch of stuff, but God can tell you the truth. Many times he can do it through other people prophetically. But yes, he can also drop it through his Holy Spirit. And he has it in John 16:12. I still have many, Jesus had word. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit obviously spoke to me in the car going to Belleville, hearing from God, saying into my heart, son, by choice. And that just rocked more than my Friday, obviously. Are we hungry for God's word? And it's not, there's no false yukni. It's not a burden. I believe, as a Christian, it's a necessity for life. It's an absolute necessity for life to clearly discern and hear from God. In 2 weeks' time, we're gonna go on with God's voice, and we're going to just chat to each other about what is the result of hearing from God. Obviously, I've shared a testimony now, but out of Scripture, it's really very awesome of what the result is when we hear from God. God's voice is not cheap. He gave his own son again so that he can restore relationship and communication with us. God's voice is not cheap. But it's also not mystical, far, weird, wacky, out there, freaky, new age, whatever. It's very authentic and it's very biblical. And it's very necessary. And us as a church, individually and collectively, we need to hear from God. He can give us true direction, true identity. I've had times in my life where financially we were quite drained. Not even quite drained. We had absolutely nothing left, just in cash flow wise. And then I'll go to the Spar in Malmesbury and I'll even ask the Lord if I can buy the Viennas or not. Now some people might say to you, don't waste God's time with asking for parking or Viennas. But yet in relationship with a loving Father, a God that knows best, the God that knows that maybe the 20 rand that I've got left, how far it needs to go, I'd rather listen to him than try to be all smart on my own. And I just love that. A surrendered heart, and I'm not saying mine is always surrendered, I think we can surrender our hearts and our lives daily, can hear from God. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So we can just ask him, Lord, make our hearts humble so that we can hear from you. And as I said, is the commodity or the privilege, the magnificence, the supernatural wowness of hearing from God still important in our everyday life? Is that the good path that we choose, as Mary did when she sat at Jesus' feet? But anyway, before I go on too long, let's pray. And ask the Holy Spirit just to help us. Father God, we just thank you that you've given us relationship. You've given us relationship in all forms, shapes, and sizes, Lord. Lord, it's a massive foundation on which life is built is relationships, Lord. even a little 8-year-old boy will look after and look out and cry for a sibling that can't look after itself. Even a little boy will try to stay out of school to go and care for a baby sibling who's out in the bush. God, you've given us relationship to protect, to love, to nurture, and to care for with each other. But I believe, Father God, and I thank you first and foremost with you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, throughout your word, it is clear, Lord, that you want to communicate with us. Lord, help us to listen. Give us the grace to have ears to hear, Lord. Give us the hearts, like Mary, to sit at your feet, Lord. And sometimes when you wait a moment, Lord, to wait for you, Lord. Lord, give us Samuel's heart to not go back twice, not go back three times, but even on the fourth time, Lord, to get it right. Thank you for your grace, Lord. If you feel there's a stumbling block or a blockage or a wall by which you can't hear from God, why don't you just raise your hand that I can pray for you? Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the hands, Lord. And Lord, we just come and speak to these walls. These walls are obviously lies, Lord. We can see out of Scripture that it is obviously a lie from the enemy. So we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and reveal the truth. As we've just seen in the Word, and the Spirit of truth will come and He will guide you into all of the truth. Please speak to these individuals. Please speak into their hearts, into their lives, Father God, and reveal to them the truth in Jesus' name. We just say, walls, come down in Jesus' name. Come down. Lies, be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, that we are accepted. We are loved, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you break down these walls. In Jesus' name. If life has gone a bit hectic lately for you and you have not gotten the time, maybe just to hear from Him, and you'd like some prayer, and I include myself in this one, please, don't give me an indication. You don't have to. Give God an indication that you want to hear from Him. That you don't want to be like the 17-year-olds that only hear from Him once in your life. Or maybe twice seeing Him if you're lucky. You want what He's got for you. If that's you, just in your heart, raise your hand to the Lord. Lord, I just lift up my life to you, Lord, and where there's a lot of harass out there, Lord, I just pray that for each and every one of us, Lord, that hungers and thirsts for connecting with you, Lord, connecting with your Holy Spirit, or be it in worship or in nature, in the Word, in quiet time, Father God, however you work with us, Lord, we pray that we can hear your voice, Lord. That we can hear and obey, Lord. Lord, thank you that we've prayed and that you take away any lies, any walls that has come up, Lord. You unblock ears and you open eyes to see God and to hear from Him. And we thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit and through Christ that you've made this possible. Flood us again, Lord, with you, with your voice, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you've never stopped speaking. Help us to listen, Lord. Help us to tune in. Help us to hear from you, Lord. And as a congregation, Father God, we lift up the church to you, Lord. May we be a people that pray, Lord. May we be a people that seek your face, Lord. May we be a people that knock, search, ask, Lord. Yes, for ourselves, but also, Lord, to have favor for our surrounds, Lord. For our neighbors that do not know you. For our neighbors with puppet masters. For our neighbors with broken hearts. Please, Lord, speak to Shofar Table View, Lord. Not for us to be cool, but for your kingdom to come, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. It's been a massive privilege. Please do come for prayer afterwards if it's on your heart. Please, if you want to go to the seminar, the 23rd, for the ladies, fill in your name and chat to us. If you're visiting or if you're not visiting, please have coffee and cake. I go through a lot of trouble on Saturday afternoons to go get that cake and to get it here in the form it is still in. So please do eat it. I'll really appreciate that. Have an awesome week. Dankie, Ella.